Penguin Random House Canada presents Strangers Among Us by L.R. Wright. Read for you by Peter Outerbridge, Kristen Krug, Jacob McInnes, Elva May Hoover, Rebecca Auerbach, Caleb Stull, Sheldon Elter, and Derek Kwan. This book is for Susan Ackland, M.D., Hervé Kusk, M.D., and Patricia Clugston, M.D. With thanks.
1. Friday, November 11th. In the silver rain-washed morning, the village of Seashelt huddled between bodies of water, a saltwater inlet rippling to the north, a wide strait lapping its southern beaches. Coastal range mountains crowded to the edge of the mainland and spilled out upon the peninsula, the dark green of coniferous forests sculpting their cragginess, softening it. A small gray house stood in the woods close to the sea, its roof barely visible through sheltering cedars. So close to the water it stood that the Pacific Ocean must have been a continuous, restless presence within its backyard garden, around its kitchen table, inside its bedrooms. From the house, a trail led through the trees and down an incline to the beach, where a family had gathered on this mild, misty morning and were now absorbed in familiar tasks. A father, a mother, an 8-year-old girl, and a teenage boy. It was Remembrance Day, and there was no school. The boy, Elliot, was 14. He was 5 feet 10 inches tall and thinner than he wanted to be. His shoulders were broad, but carried little flesh. His hair was black and cut very short, straight across on top. This morning he was wearing long baggy shorts and a baggy t-shirt over them, and a baseball cap sat backward on his head. His hazel eyes were the best thing about Elliot's looks. They were large eyes, almond-shaped, with long, dark lashes. He already knew that girls liked his eyes. Elliot's head was aching, a dull ache rooted in the back of his head, right in the middle, up a little bit from his neck. From here it burrowed off in several directions, causing more pain in his temples and behind his forehead. It had started sometime in the night. He had wakened, blinking, aware that he was frowning, and then had realized that his head was aching. Again. He had never gotten headaches at home. He stopped his work, put down the tool, and leaned over, his hands gripping his knees. He thought if he let blood flow to his head, the pain might ease. This was a worse headache than usual. It had hold of his entire head. He imagined his head gripped hard by a giant pair of pliers, getting squeezed, getting twisted, put totally out of shape. He looked at his legs, the bony knees, the calves, his feet looming enormous in black military boots and white socks. The boots, he saw, were dirty, their gleaming smeared by wet sand. He shouldn't have worn them out here. He should have put on his high tops, but then they would have gotten dirty, of course. And at least he could clean the boots, polish them. He straightened up and rubbed the back of his neck. Putting his head down had made the headache worse. It was pounding thick and hot enough to make him wince. He got a lot of headaches now. Or else it was the same one coming back again and again. It was stress that did this, he thought. He probably didn't have a real headache. That is, there probably wasn't any physical reason for it. It was just his mind's way of giving substance to his unhappiness. He was pleased with himself for figuring this out, but it didn't seem to have done him much good. The headache was still there, and he wasn't any happier either. He wondered if he would ever be happy again. Quite possibly he wouldn't. He glanced over his shoulder at his little sister, who was carrying the pail, helping their mom. Rosie would be happy again someday. He wasn't sure about his mom. What a waste, he thought. What a waste. Elliot stood with his head bowed, his skin prickled and felt clammy, and for a moment he was afraid that the headache was spreading throughout his whole body. He was truly terrified, contemplating this possibility. He didn't think it would be possible to live with that kind of pain. He heard his father shouting at him, and he stood straight again and picked up the tool to resume his work. He was the strongest person in the family, so he got the hardest job. This was logical. It made sense. In the coolness of the November morning, he started to sweat. At first, the work had been satisfying. When he'd gotten into the rhythm of it, he'd enjoyed the physical sensation of reaching, stretching, whacking at the brush. But now his effort was taking its toll. His shoulders ached, and his back also, and his bare legs stung where they'd gotten scratched. He was also very hungry. By the time he'd gotten out of bed that morning, everybody else had eaten, and it was time to go. He hadn't wanted to get up. It was a holiday. He shouldn't have had to get up, not at the crack of dawn, for God's sake. But his dad had banged on his door, scaring the hell out of him, catapulting him into morning. "Get your ass out of that bed," his dad had shouted. Elliot couldn't remember the last time the beginning of a day had been a good thing. It was months and months ago, and miles away. His head was aching when he awoke, and he must have slept funny too, because there was a crick in his neck, actually down in his back somewhere. He had gotten up and gone downstairs, wearing shorts and a t-shirt. His mom wanted him to change, to put on something warmer. Elliot looked out the window, and Jesus Christ, it was one of those days when the whole fucking world was gray, and the same shade of gray, too. You couldn't tell where the sea left off and the sky started to happen. You'd never fucking know there were mountains anyplace near. His sister was eating breakfast and reading a comic book. He could hear his dad's footsteps upstairs, pounding from one room to another. "I gotta work today," he said to his mom. "I know," she told him. "This won't take long. I gotta be there by noon." "I know, Elliot," she said, being patient. But Elliot knew she didn't have much patience left, not for him anyway. She offered him breakfast, but by then his dad was coming downstairs, loudly, like he did everything, so Elliot shook his head. Now, as he worked, he was even more hungry. It wasn't good to be missing meals. His only hope for survival in this godforsaken place, he had decided, was to turn himself into some kind of an athlete, and this required that he bulk up. He had to eat a lot, as often as possible, and start working out, too. And this made him think of Sammy, of course. Sammy, back home. Elliot was pretty sure he'd never have another friend like Sammy, not ever in his whole life. His anger was wakening again. A whole bunch of things could get it going. Being hungry could do it. Thinking about his real home could do it. So he tried not to think about home. But sometimes that just made him angrier. A person ought to at least be able to take comfort from thinking about a place and people he'd never see again, but oh no, there was no comfort there, just more fucking anger. Even when it wasn't threatening to boil over, he knew it was there, his anger, always there inside him, like a low-grade fever. At least the headache went away sometimes. Suddenly he stumbled and lost his balance, clutching at a blackberry bush in a vain attempt to break his fall. He landed heavily on one knee, the palm of his hand stinging.
"Watch yourself with that thing, Dumbo," his father called out and laughed.
For a second, Elliot didn't care about the laughter. For a second, he welcomed it. His father was in a good mood, and Elliot was grateful for this. For a second, he considered laughing, too, in acknowledgement of his clumsiness. He lifted the tool, seeking the rhythm he'd lost. Lifted and sliced downward, lifted and sliced. He opened his hands one by one and got a better grip, lifted it again, smashed it down. There was a burning feeling in Elliot's chest and shit, there were tears in his fucking eyes. His whole body was shaking. He was trying desperately to hang on to something. He didn't even know what it was. Suddenly his father was yelling again.
"What the fuck are you doing?"
Elliot staggered backward, breathing
Sample complete. Ready to continue?